Today on Family Talk.
The key to maintaining any healthy relationship is the mutual respect and honor we have for the other person in that relationship. Those attributes are needed even more when it comes to marriage and parenting. Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Today, you're going to listen to a broadcast originally recorded over 30 years ago. Back then, Dr. Dobson was joined by his longtime friend, Dr. Gary Smalley. Dr. Smalley was a popular author and speaker who tremendously helped mend broken relationships in the family. He authored over 60 best-selling books, which sold close to 12 million copies. His most notable works included The Blessing, The Two Sides of Love, and The Language of Love. He spoke to millions of people during his 40 years in ministry and appeared on numerous television programs. Dr. Smalley modeled what he taught by being married to his wife Norma for over 50 years. Although Dr. Smalley died in 2016, the Smalley Institute continues to help thousands of families build stronger relationships. Today's discussion will revolve around Dr. Smalley's popular book, The Key to Your Child's Heart. Dr. Dobson and Dr. Smalley will explain what it means to close a child's spirit and how parents can avoid doing that. Dr. Smalley will also share his own personal shortcomings as a father and how he remedied those circumstances with his children. It's an invigorating conversation that I hope you will enjoy and learn a lot from. So here now is the conversation featuring Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Gary Smalley on today's edition of Family Talk.
The title of it is The Key to Your Child's Heart.
Right.
Now, Gary, the imagery of that implies that there is a key, which means there's a lock, and a lock is usually to hold something out. Is that what you were referring to?
Well, it's really not that complicated as far as the title of it, but probably behind that title is that there's something that takes place in a home, either between the husband and wife or between parent and child, that a lot of parents are not aware of. If it takes place, there can be some detrimental problems that result from that. There can be some things that take place that the parent is not aware of, and there can be a distancing between parent and child, and it's a gradual thing. If he's not aware of it, then if they're not aware of it, then there can be some major problems down the road. What I tried to do is I tried to center in on this book on one of what I think is the major problems in disharmony between parent and child, and I'd like that to be the key to a child's heart if the parent wants to build a meaningful relationship with that child through the years.
Now, you describe in this manuscript the fact that a child sometimes pulls within, closes down emotionally, and won't engage the parent because he's been hurt.
Right.
What are the sources of that pain and that hurt?
Okay. Probably the easiest way for me to explain it, I've been trying to figure out a way to say it in this type of context, and the easiest way I've been able to explain it lately is if we look at our hand and we say that the total relationship with a person is their spirit, their soul, and their body, let's say.
Right.
Let's say if I said the spirit of a person was their innermost being, and the part that touches another person without any words being spoken, it's our spirit that touches first. You know, we haven't said anything, but you're checking me out, I'm checking you out kind of thing. You know, it's just sort of a nonverbal type of thing. And then I say that the soul, let's say, of a person is their mind, will, and emotions, whether they're responsive, whether they like the person, and so on. And then I say the body is just the physical makeup, and it's just a little handle that helps me understand this thing that's taking place. So what I say is that if we said the spirit is the outside tips of the finger, and the soul is sort of the middle part of the hand, and then right in the center is the body, when a parent offends a child through harshness or broken promises or any number of things that can be done, anger, criticism, unfair punishment, a lot of little things can take place. Some of them are major, some of them are not so major. It's like it affects the spirit of that child, and it's kind of like that child's spirit sort of starts closing, like our hand would close. Mm. And as it closes out the soul and the body. The soul, that the child isn't as responsive mentally, doesn't want to talk as much. They begin to lose their feelings. They become more resistant in their will. Parent will say, they want them to do this, they want them to do that, take out the trash, and they become more rebellious. Probably a more significant thing is that what the parent believes is right and the parent says, I think you ought to do this, or I don't want you to listen to that music, or I believe in God and I think you ought to. If the parent believes it, but he's closing the spirit of his child, a child will have a tendency to think, well, if that's what you believe, then I don't want to believe it. If that's the kind of music you want me to listen to, I'm not going to. If you don't like that music, then I don't want that music. If you don't like those friends, I don't like those. You know, I mean, if you like those friends, I don't like them. It's sort of an underlying current of rebellion that can take place. It's not the only reason, obviously, that children rebel, but I have witnessed this in all my counseling. I've tried to put a handle on it, and I find that as their spirit closes, they become less emotionally attached. There's not as much touching. They don't like to be touched when you're closing their spirit. They can even want to spend more time away from the home. I really discovered this by working with couples in marriage groups over a three-year period with many couples
adults
in my home.
Adults can close down
really,
like that,
adults
too, can't
close
they?
Down yeah. in a hurry. And I really learned it between husband and wife because, like, a husband can say something in the evening, 9 or 10 o'clock or something, and oftentimes he's not even aware that what he's going to say is going to affect her as much as it may. And so he'll say it. She'll begin to close her spirit. He'll go over and say, is anything wrong? She'll say, no. And he'll say, well, I can see something's wrong. Maybe she'll be even tearing, you know. And he'll say, did I say something? And she'll say, what? You know, did you say something? And he'll try to touch her, and she'll be cold. Her hands will be non-responsive, you know, that feeling you get. Maybe the back's turned, you know, and he'll try to hold her, and she doesn't want to touch. And oftentimes in a relationship is because a person's spirit is closing down. But what I'm finding is that you can open the person's spirit in just a matter of minutes.
Let me give an illustration and see if this is what you're talking about. I find that parents often put their children on a defensive and treat them as enemies right. when, in fact, the parent doesn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just under pressure and they're moving through the day and
right.
there are these responsibilities that the parent has. And so instead of saying, Johnny, come into the bedroom with me. I want to show you. See, there's some toys around here. How about getting that up for me?
Right.
Instead, get in there and clean up that
right.
mess. You know,
that's
and
right.
they throw him
that's
on the
right.
defensive and make an enemy out of him
right.
and make him
right.
Have to defend
right.
himself.
That's right. Right.
When if you're careful with that spirit, you can
That's
keep
right.
it open. It's kind of like
right.
a little flower, isn't it? You
Absolutely.
Touch it and it'll close
That's
down.
That's right. Just like those sea urchins in the ocean, you know, you see those little look like little tentacles, you know,
yeah.
and you poke it and it closes up.
But you're not saying that parents should not ask him to clean the room.
Oh, no, no. And, in fact, sometime during the program, I hope we can get into the whole area of years ago. See, as I grew up, I didn't have a mother and father who are both passed away now who trained me. I never had an example in this thing, so I had to learn all these things as I was learning how to raise my children.
Your father died when you were in high school.
I was in high school when he
yeah.
died, and a lot of the things that I learned about my wife and parenting, some of those things I learned from some of your books, you know, as we were trying to understand these things. And I was so like a sponge. I just wanted whatever I could see that worked. But this thing of the closing of the spirit, it's the first chapter in this book, The Key to Your Child's Heart. And I put it there because I wanted parents to see that I see it as a major problem. Can I give an example
sure.
like in my own home? That I can remember the time that when I used to be an assistant vice president of in a large Christian organization in the Midwest, and I talked to a lot of pastors all over the country because it was a national ministry. And I had a rule in my home. I don't know where I got it, but I had this rule that nobody screams when I'm on the phone. So anyway, I was on the phone with some pastor in the master bedroom one time, and Greg, my middle child, was about 5 or 6 years old. And he let out a blood-curdling scream from the bathroom, and master bathroom, and I could hear him, and it was pretty deafening because I was having a hard time continuing the conversation. But the worst thing is he came into the bedroom, and he was really uptight, and he was screaming and jumping, you know, and I was trying to get his attention, you know, nonverbal, you know, go downstairs kind of thing. And I was even kind of swatting my bottom, you know, saying, if you don't get downstairs, you know, all this was nonverbal. Finally, I had to say to the guy, hey, I'm going to have to get back to you. Something came up, and I hung up, and I walked over to my son, and I grabbed him by the arm because, see, I was irritated that he wouldn't go downstairs, and I shoved him into the hallway, and I said, you get into your bedroom. I never, all of this done was an impulsive type of movement. I pushed him into his bedroom. I told him to lay down on the bed. I got the stick out, you know, that we had made, you know, and decorated as a family kind of thing. And I didn't use it very often, but see, I was really irritated, and I spanked him. And I really, you know, got him. And I stood back, and I thought, you know, there, that's what you get for, you know, violating my rule. But what I saw happen was what somebody else was already trying to help me understand, is that I closed the spirit of my child through that harshness, that pushy, arrogant, superiority, demeaning attitude that I had. Well, how did I know that? Well, my child's eyes were communicating, I don't like you. And he was closing on me. He didn't want to talk. He was moving backwards. He was still crying. He was in shock that his dad would treat him this way. I was in shock. And so I had already learned from somebody that some of the best things you can do to open the spirit of a child or a parent or a wife or a husband or anyone, you know, are several things they said are important. So what I did immediately is I dropped to my knees and I became soft in my own spirit. I was gentle. I was grieving for what I did, but he didn't want any part of me. And
before him, he heard you pray, right?
Oh,
or was this in the privacy?
No, this was, he was standing there next to me. Yeah. I mean, he was in front of me about 5 feet now, yeah. But he was moving away. He didn't want any part of me. I didn't ask him to come and hug me because I knew he wouldn't.
Yes.
And I could have said, like some parents, you get over here right now, you know, and you hug me right now. You know, he would have waddled over in a bit of mechanical action. But because his spirit was closing, he didn't want to touch me and he didn't want any part of talking to me. And his emotions were going and he was stubborn. And you could feel that stubbornness there.
Yeah.
And so I got soft in my own spirit and I was gentle and I said, Greg, I wanted to understand. And I said, Greg, why were you crying? Why didn't I ask this before? Yeah. And he said, Daddy, he was still crying. He said, Daddy, I fell on the bathtub in my ear. You know, and I looked at his ear and I had not noticed his ear and it was swollen and it was bleeding. And I went, oh, man. Mm. And then he said, Daddy, when you pushed me in the hall, he says, I hit my same ear in the toy box. And then I felt, you know, like a child abuser type of thing. And I was so grieved inside. And he could see I was grieved, but he still wasn't interested in being involved with me.
And he was still hurt.
Right. And so I admitted I was wrong. In fact, I even handed him the stick. I said, Greg, I'm the one that deserves to be spanked. I'm on my knees at this point. And he took the stick and dropped it and backed up all the more. See, he's not responding to me.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch him. But I said, Greggy, do you think you could find it in your heart to forgive Daddy because I was sure wrong? He rushed to my arms. He threw his arms around me. We laid back in the bed, you know. And for about a half hour, just laid on my chest, and you know how they are.
Yeah.
You know how they are. And I just held him, and we didn't say a word. And after a few minutes, I looked at his ear, and I said, Greg, are you sure everything's okay between us? He patted me and said, oh, Daddy, we all make mistakes. Uh-huh. Now, you know how I began to realize his spirit was opening is that he was touching me, he was talking to me, and he was emotionally responding to me. Now, as a parent, if I didn't know that type of thing, then what I can do is do one or two of these little things here and there, close their spirit. If I keep it closed on a regular basis, pretty soon it can turn to resentment. Then it stays closed. It can cement. However, I have also found that with children, as you know, almost any age, in fact, I have children 35 and 40 and 50 years old who say to me, if only my mom and dad would just admit what they said and did to me as a child. Some of them are still hung up.
It's so because, difficult.
But dads and moms won't come back and say, hey, I was wrong. I was insensitive. I can see I closed your spirit. So when I talk about closing your spirit, it's just a tool for me to understand what's taking place. I have husbands that call me in long distance, and you have thousands of them that call you and write you. But they call and say, my wife has left. Is there anything we can do? And the first thing I do is I call the wife. And I find out how closed is that spirit. Because a husband can open the spirit of his wife in 6 weeks, 6 months, and get right back together.
Yeah, in fact, she wants him to.
She wants him
the
to.
The time that the spirit's closed
right.
down is the time
but
the other
you know
person wants
saying?
You to open
right.
it up.
But she is saying to him, I hate you. Yeah. I don't want any part of you. In fact, I have a quarter against you. And he thinks, because he's a man, that she's saying, I hate you. I don't want any part of you. But what she's really saying is, oh, would you only work on opening my spirit?
Gary, how can you tell when a child's spirit is closed down? What are the symptoms? What do you look for?
Okay, the special things that I look for are in the soul and in the body. And I look for the nonverbals because quite a bit of our conversation between two people is nonverbal. It's tone of voice and facial expression. And when a child, for example, I know there are stages, like when my daughter Carrie, who's almost 18 now, when she was 12 and 13, you know, I tried to hug her, you know, and she was a little, you know, it was a little awkward, you know, kind of thing. And so Norma said, and certainly, you know, she was 14, 15, 16, you know, we can hug all the time. But there were times where she didn't want to touch. But the special things a parent needs to observe is how stubborn is his will or her will? How resistant are they to me? Does it seem out of proportion to what's happening right now? They're really resistant. Do I sense when I'm with them that they like me emotionally? Do I sense that there's a kind of an openness between us? When I ask them to do something, is there a strong will? Is there a resistance? I know there are temperaments of certain children that tend to be more strong-willed than others. But what I have found is that if I'm noticing they're stubborn, if I notice there's sort of an alienation between me, if I notice that I try to touch them and they aren't responsive to them, you know, you put your arm around them, Dad, not now, kind of thing. Immediately, red flags go up in my mind. I think, uh-oh, have I said something? Have I done something? In fact, we have a lot of family meetings. You know, now we probably have at least two or three a month to resolve some things that come up. But we had one not long ago where Greg, he's the football player, the macho kind of guy right now, so he's not hugging us like he used to. So we had a meeting about it. And we said, where are we today in our hugging? You know, we go 0 to 10. You know, how's everybody doing on hugging? And Greg says, yeah, everything's okay, you know. And then Norma said, Greg, I've been trying to hug you lately, and you've been a little bit resistant. Oh, Mom, I mean, you know, just relax kind of thing, you know. And Carrie said, yeah, because I think brothers and sisters need to be hugging each other. And Carrie will say, Greg, when I try to hug you, you know, you give me this, you know, macho kind of thing. And it's like, Greg, you make me feel like you don't like me. He said, Carrie, I like you. I just right now. And she said, well, would you be willing just to respond at least? And Mom said, yeah, Greg, I mean it really. And I said, yeah, Greg, I need to hug you too. I need for you to hug me.
Did he understand
that? Yes, he understood the whole thing. And he'll hug us now. And I'll go into his bedroom in the morning and say, give me a hug. And so, but, you know, he's working out with weights because he plays football. You know, he'll grab it. And he basically dislocates my backbone, you know, kind of thing. And he does the thing with Mom. He picks her up, you know, because it's a kind of a strong thing right now. But that's okay. I'll take the being lifted off the floor and everything else. But I can see in his spirit that he's not closed.
So the key to your child's spirit is what? Put it in the shortest number of words.
Okay, it's keeping your relationship with your children where their spirit is open most of the time, if not all the time. And being so alert by the facial expressions that I can now tell when they're closing up on me. If I push my kids into something, like they don't want to do something, if Carrie doesn't want to play basketball and I say, well, I, as your father, I think that you ought to play basketball, and I want you to listen to me because I'm wiser than you are, and I've got a lot of years ahead of you, and I'm just telling you this is right, and I want you to do it. You push your kids into things where they're really against it, and you can close their spirit down and do more damage, so that I say the key is keeping their spirit open, and maybe we can talk more about how to be aware of it and how to sense it.
What a touching story of love and forgiveness from Dr. Gary Smalley. Well, we are halfway through this conversation here on Family Talk, featuring Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Gary Smalley, a conversation recorded during the mid-1980s. I'm Roger Marsh, and I hope you know how much we appreciate your consistent support of this ministry. We would not be able to survive without your faithful and generous financial contributions. Learn how you can stand with us by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by calling toll-free 877-732-6825. Now, as we rejoin today's broadcast, the conversation steers toward the delicate balance between love and discipline. Dr. Dobson asks Dr. Smalley if it's possible to punish your children without closing their spirits. Here's his response.
Okay, let me respond to that first by saying that I believe you can. I think some of the people that are listening, some of the most precious times in our home has been during a spanking time. Now, some people may say, what, during a spanking time? Because we have a written contract in our home. It's a very simple written contract that we have as a family that outlines specifically when a spanking can be given and how an appeal can be made before the spanking is actually administered. And we have very few spankings in our home. There hasn't been two in the last 2 or 3 years type of thing. Hmm. But it's so clearly outlined that what they have to do to receive one, and then after it's apparent that they should have one, then they have, right in the contract, just written, they can call for court. And this only takes seconds, you know, a couple of minutes. I remember the time that Carrie did something to Greg on the back porch, and he shoved her off the porch, and she did something else to him. And I just sort of came around the side of the house, you know, and caught some of this, and Norma caught some of it. And it looked like he had, you know, had done some things, and she had done some things, but it looked like she was guilty for what she had done. So it looked like she was going to have a spanking. We had a quick discussion out in the back porch, and it looked like she was guilty. So we went into the house, and she said, I think I'm innocent, you know, kind of thing. And so I said, well, would you like to call, you know, court? She said, absolutely. Of course, they think, you know, this is whatever. He'll call for it. So we sit around the table, and this has only happened like 5 or 6 times in our family. But we go around the table. We say, okay, what are the facts? What'd you see? What'd you think happened? And Carrie will say, well, I did this. And Greg will say, yeah, but you did this. And I get all the facts, and I say, anything else? And then we have the jury, and that's all of us. And we go around the table. I say, Mom, what do you think? Guilty. Greg, what do you think? Innocent. Innocent. Mike, what do you think? You know. And then they have to give their reasons. As the facts came out, what Greg saw, it was obvious that Carrie was not guilty. And she went, oh, Greg, thank you. And it was so obvious. And all of us saw the facts. We said, Carrie, here it is. The facts are here. No
He'll
spanking.
Collect that chit the next
oh,
time.
Oh, there are times we go around the table and it's guilty, guilty, guilty. And when we get to the person, they're guilty. And we walk into the bedroom. We close the door because we think this ought to be a private time, a serious time. I talk with them. They understand it. We breathe heavily, you know, because oftentimes they'll say, you know, like this. They'll say, Dad, how many, you know, kind of thing. And I'll say, hey, well, whatever, you know, it warrants. And, and we'll talk about it. We say how they breathe deep, you know, get relaxed. And actually, I have hugged them before. We've gone through the spanking. We've hugged afterwards. We've cried together. I've had times where actually Greg and Carrie were spanked in the same room at the same time. And they actually said, who wants to go first? And the others say, well, I'll go first. No, they didn't. I'll go first. You know, kind of, that's a harmonious time because spanking is used sparingly. We have another thing we use for discipline. It's a completely different thing. And spanking is something that we use as a last resort.
You know, I am sometimes seen as the guru of spanking in 1969, 1970, when nobody was saying Dare to Discipline came out, and I supported that concept because
exactly
it's biblical
right.
and
sure.
because psychologically I can see value in it.
Sure.
But like you, we did very little of it. Right. Very, very little. People would be amazed at how little spanking that we did in our family, in our home. And honestly, sitting here right now, I do not remember a single occasion for either child where a spanking was administered that it did not draw us together afterwards.
Absolutely.
After that emotional ventilation
cleansing
is over,
the
children put their arms around our necks. We held them. We talked about how they got in trouble, how they could avoid it next time, and how painful it was to us to have to do that.
Right.
Now, let's avoid it. Let's don't get
that
anymore.
That's right.
And
when
it's done right in that context, all of those criticisms of spanking, that it's child abuse and that it's the hostility
That's
of one generation for the next apply to something that didn't happen in my home.
Absolutely. In fact, see, what you're saying is what you influenced me in, see, as a parent. See, you've influenced people everywhere and you've influenced our home. What you're saying is that you should spank, if you're going to spank, in respect and honor, which is Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, preferring one another in honor. So when we spank, it's done in respect.
I couldn't have said that better myself, Gary. That's very nice.
But on the other side of the coin, you want to close the spirit of your child in a hurry? Spank him in anger. Spank her in anger. Spank her in harshness. Spank her unfairly. Spank her without her knowing what's taking place. Vent your frustrations on your child. Then you'll close
their
spirit.
There are times when I have been very intense,
and I have
irritated.
I have too. That's right.
I've spanked. Yeah.
But if I sensed I closed their spirit during that time, maybe the spanking was okay. But how I did it was wrong.
I think the dividing line is whether or not you are using leadership and authority the proper sense or using power.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the time where you threw your kid around and you didn't find out what the circumstances were, that's sheer power.
That
you're bigger than he was. That was
that's
power.
Exactly right.
But there were times when as God gets irritated at us and we feel his wrath, there are times when my kids knew that I was irritated with them as well.
Well, that's why and all the people that have influenced us as a husband and wife in raising our children, the pediatricians that have trained us, you know, and everything else, our discipline came in the form of written contracts. And because we had clearly defined contracts, we didn't have to resort to the spanking that often.
Yeah.
So,
Gary, there's still some very important concepts in The Key to Your Child's Heart that I want to talk to you about, and we're out of time today. Especially, I want to hear you talk about emotional word pictures and some other aspects of parent-child relationships and marriage. So if you'll just come back, we'll hit it next time.
Thank you. I'd love to.
You have been listening to a timeless broadcast here on Family Talk featuring renowned author and speaker Dr. Gary Smalley in his conversation with Dr. James Dobson. Now, Dr. Smalley passed away a few years ago, but his ministry is still very active even today. You can learn more about the Smalley Institute by going to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Once you're there, you'll also find a link to the many popular books that Dr. Smalley published during his lifetime. Again, go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the broadcast page. Have you ever missed one of our daily broadcasts in the midst of your busy schedule? Well, if you weren't able to get to your radio in time, be sure to download the Family Talk mobile app. It allows you to listen to any of our recent interviews whenever you want. You can also sign up to receive specific resources for parenting and marriage advice as well. So go right now and download the Family Talk app and take us with you wherever you go. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to come back again tomorrow to hear part two of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Dr. Gary Smalley. That's coming up next time right here on Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Everyone, this is Roger Marsh. Here at Family Talk, we strongly believe in our rights as Americans to make our voices heard at the polls. That is why we are urging you to get out and vote in the 2018 midterm elections. Are you unfamiliar with the key issues being decided this fall? Well, visit drjamesdobson.org to download our voter guide to see where your values align. Also, be sure to revisit our site on Election Day. You can click the I Voted button that we'll have there. The future of America depends on our involvement in this crucial election. So pray, be engaged, and cast your vote this November 6th.